it has been unbelievable that we have left a pandemic crisis, a pandemic that is still out there, but we have moved on to a hunger crisis due to inflation. You know, the latest numbers show that grocery prices have now increased 12% year over year. Eggs have rose more than 33% from over a year ago. Butter is up 21%, and milk is up 16%. You add that into gas prices, even though they're coming down right now, they are still well over where they were a year or two ago. And you have individuals who need to spend an additional $450 per month on living expenses just to meet their basic needs for the same price that they were paying a year ago. So when you're talking about individuals who are really living paycheck to paycheck, and we saw a surge of those individuals come to food banks during the pandemic, especially when industries across the nation were cut overnight, an extra $450 a month is not sustainable for a lot of the people we serve. So, I mean, for us, what we've really seen is we've had an increase of 25% of families visiting our Feeding Families Pantry on site here since January. And to put that into numbers, for us in January, we had an average of 350 families per week who visited our on-site pantry. And now that number is closer to 500 and keeps rising week after week.
You must have to have people waiting in line outside the warehouse to get in to manage that many people at a time.
Absolutely. And Wednesday's the day that we start distribution from this facility. When I pull into the office, you know, before 8 o'clock, there is a line of cars that are going down the street waiting to be checked in. And that pantry opens at 9 o'clock. So we have people who are coming and waiting in line and hoping that they can get in here and get out with all of the groceries they need. And the interesting part is that you're balancing this inflation and you're balancing the cost of living with what we have of a supply chain issue. So when you're talking about food for families in need and donated food and food that we're purchasing, we're in a spot, too, where now what we're seeing is supply chain breakdowns. And that could be from many reasons, including the fact that there's just not enough truck drivers to get the food from point A to point B. And so we're seeing a lack of variety that we had a year ago. So it's not a lack of food. It's just a lack of that variety that we really like to see in our community, and especially during a time when the community is in such need. You know, the pricing of purchased food, so we spend over $1 million a year on purchased food, and the cost of transporting that food has just skyrocketed. And for us, it's really taking a look at how can we balance what's not being donated through the community with what we can purchase, and then how long is it going to take to get here? So some days what happens is we may get 9 trucks of food, and then we may not get another truckload of food for a couple of weeks because there is no rhyme or reason to when things happen now.
How are you managing with the mismatch between supply and demand, and what alternatives do families have in our community?
So here's what I would say about that. We are not running out of food. We're running out of different types of varieties of food. And we are fortunate right now that this supply chain issue is happening during the summer when we have such great donors of fresh produce.
Wow.
That is coming through our doors. So we have such great variety of produce for people to choose from. And where the variety may lack is more in those shelf-stable items, things like canned vegetables or spaghetti sauce, things of that nature. So the fact that the silver lining is though variety is struggling right now because of the supply chain issues, that it's happening during a time when we're getting such beautiful produce into the facility here. And of all of the food we distribute, so we'll distribute close to 10 million pounds of food. And of that, 70% of that food actually goes to 40 partner agencies that we work with throughout Boulder and Broomfield counties. So for us, though our on-site pantry is giving us a story of what's happening, that story is being replayed in 40 other partner agencies all across our service area. So they're seeing an increase in demand as well. And so for us, it's really our core mission is getting that food out to those agencies and those partners so that they can meet people where they're at, which is really important to us.
Kim, let's talk a little bit about eligibility and qualifying. Does Community Food Share have eligibility requirements for families to come and access the pantry? And if so, how have you had to change some of that, or how has that surged in the last year?
So we do not have specific eligibility for individuals to come access the food that they need, other than we ask that they live in Boulder or Broomfield County. So we have, we're part of Feeding America,
right,
which is food banks all across the country, and there's five main hubs in Colorado in terms of Feeding America food banks. And so we're one of those. So we ask that people come from the community in which they're in to seek out the help that they need. So it's a self-declaration of need. And for people who are in need of food assistance, it's very humbling and sometimes scary to think about going into a pantry. And we want our pantry and our partners want their pantries to be as welcoming as possible for people to know that they belong and that we are here to help them out. Food should not be a barrier to why people can't succeed. We have enough food in this country to feed everyone who needs it. So we just want to make sure that we're as open and have as little barriers as possible to people accessing that food. Now, we do have some government programs that we run, and the government program for, say, ElderShare, which is our commodity supplemental food program, they do have income eligibility requirements for that food. So say a senior asked us for help and needed food delivered. If they did not qualify for that program due to income, that is fine. We will bring food from our warehouse that is not government food to make sure that they're getting the food they need. And then you have, you know, another USDA program, which is called the Emergency Food Assistance Program, or
right,
TFAP. And, you know, for us and food banks across the country, that TFAP food is really important for us to have a stable flow of staples coming through our food banks. And unfortunately, we have seen a decrease network-wide of about 30% in TFAP food to pantries and food banks. And, you know, so we're really working on advocating for the Farm Bill that's coming up shortly to be really taking a look at those government food programs as well that really help sustain people and food banks in terms of having access to the food they need to serve the clients.
Well, I wanted to talk about that, and, you know, let me know if, you know, I don't want to ask you beyond your familiarity, but the free and reduced lunch program, which also is a status that people qualify for, your child, because of your household income, will qualify for free and reduced lunch. What I didn't realize were two things. One was that qualifying that status, that eligibility status for free and reduced lunch, also qualifies families for other things like subsidized internet, the waiver of some school fees, things like that. And that there have been extensive waivers issued for this during the, you know, pandemic and post-pandemic return to school, however that has happened, and that is going away in the fall, which is going to have a huge impact again on households' monthly nut, what the cost is of their basic needs. And if you could talk a little bit about that and if Community Food Share is aware of it and preparing for that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, those waivers that were put in place during the pandemic, they allowed any child to get food from the schools and not have to qualify under these income requirements. And currently, so to qualify for a free lunch in Colorado, a family of four must earn no more than $31,000 a year. And for reduced lunch, it's $56,000. Now, that is not a sustainable number. So people who are making more than $56,000 still need assistance in feeding their families.
Correct.
We have such a high cost of living here in Colorado and here in Boulder and Broomfield counties as well, that it is, you know, closer to $80,000 that people need to make to be self-sustainable. So For us, it's really looking at, yes, we've seen an increase due to inflation throughout the summertime. Many families that we've seen for the first time, we're expecting that to just increase as these waivers go away after the summertime, and that we have people who now have to prepare meals for their kids for lunch, for breakfast, because they don't meet those very low qualification marks for food assistance.
Kim DeSilva is the Executive Director of Community Food Share, and you can find out more at communityfoodshare.org. Thanks so much, Kim.
Thank you so much.